to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We've been working our way through the book of James, and man, it's been a good study. We're focusing in on verses 15 and 16 this morning. Now, I know that there's a lot of different ideas out there about healing. Here's what I believe the Bible gives us about healing. Healing of our physical body in this present life is not guaranteed from the atonement of Christ or of anything else. When it says, by His stripes you're healed, there is healing there. But sometimes that healing does not come here and now. And that is God's plan. It is God's will. And that's what we want. Now, we've been told to ask. And I believe it is absolutely a right thing and a good thing to pray for healing. When you encounter folks who have a need, then I believe that's a blessed thing. But the other part of that is that this passage is not purely or only about physical problems that people are having. The word here is a word for weary or weak, and it applies not just to physical healing but to spiritual healing. It applies to the fact that sometimes we get away from the Lord, we turn away from God, and we begin to forget what He's done for us. We lose sight of how blessed we are, and we begin to believe the lies of the enemy or follow the attractions of the world or whatever it may be. And as a result, we become weak in our faith. We become weakened. And so I believe that that is also in view. I wouldn't say it's only that, but I think that both of these are in view. So let's look at verses 15 and 16. And then we'll look at the spiritual component of healing that's referred to here. Okay? Because there is a spiritual part of this, and so we want to get that. Let's look together. Chapter 5, verse 15. If you found your place, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the Word of God. I pray You would speak to our hearts this morning clearly and directly. And I pray, God, that You'd help us to hear what You have for us. Father, give us grace to enter in, Lord, in this moment. To lean in close, to hear the voice of Your Spirit. And I pray that You will speak. I pray You'll hide me behind the cross of Jesus. Lord, I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be heard. God, it doesn't matter what I think. Lord, all that matters is what Your Word says and what Your Spirit is speaking into hearts this morning. And I pray that You will shine through in this moment. And Lord, minister to every need here. God, You know each person. Now, Lord, we pray for our nation this morning. We pray for our country. God, we pray that You'd send revival and awakening across our land. And Father, we pray that You would preserve our freedom. But Lord, most of all, we pray that You would pour out Your Spirit and Your power upon this country. And Lord, we pray for that lady today who's in jail for doing what she believes is right. And Father, I pray that You'll bless her and encourage her. And I pray that You'll speak to hearts through her willingness to take a stand. And Father, give us grace now to listen carefully to the Word of God. And I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look at this. You know, there's a clear connection here between physical healing and between being spiritually right with God. And that's not to say that people who are well are right with God, or that people who are healed of something are right with God. That's not always the case. There's times when, God gives all of us life and breath, Everybody just stop for a moment. Take a deep breath. You can breathe out. Somebody's starting to look a little strained there. And then just say, "Thank you, Lord. God gave you breath. God has put breath in your lungs. He's given you that breath." And so we are blessed, and He does that. You know, He causes the sun to shine and the rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. And He sends blessings, and He pours out blessing upon blessing upon all, whether they're right with Him or not, whether they're walking with Him or not, whether they know Him or not. Now, there will come a separation one day. There will be a time when God will call us to Himself, and we will answer for our lives. Well, let's look at this together. The Bible says here in verse 15, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." And we've already talked about that word, that it has the idea of weakness, of heaviness, of weariness, of being worn down. And certainly it can apply to physical, but it certainly also applies to spiritual, because look at this. "And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins." You know, there's a clear connection. The spiritual is connected to the physical. You know, sometimes we hear a need and we say, "Oh Lord, bless so-and-so out here. They've got heart problems, or they've got cancer, or they've got this need, they've got this problem." And what we need to remember is that the physical is connected to the spiritual. And when we pray for a physical need, we need to pray for that physical need. Sure, absolutely, yes. But we also need to remember to pray for whatever spiritual needs are there. And I can pretty well assure you that whoever you're praying for, they have some spiritual need. They have something that, you know. And sometimes, it's not always, but sometimes God is allowing them to go through something like that for a very specific reason. You know, we look at Cheryl. Cheryl was diagnosed with colon cancer 32 years ago. She's been dealing with this every day of her life ever since. She's struggled with it. She's had this burden upon her. And it's been a constant. You say, "Well, why? Why did Cheryl have this? Why has she had to go through so much suffering? Why has she had so much pain? So much difficulty?" And I don't think there's any answer. I know there's no answer that I can give you. I don't think there's any answer that anyone is going to give you that's going to fully answer that now, today. But I do know this. She will be healed. And I'm praying for it to be, you know, for God to heal, you know, this week, today, right now. But one way or another, she will be healed. And when she stands before the Lord, she will be completely delivered from every part of her physical problem. And you and I will as well.
Amen.
And folks, these bodies are, you know, they're wearing down. They're tearing down. I hate to tell y'all this. Some of y'all are getting old. I don't mind telling you, I'm getting old too. And 23 and a half years now, I've been getting old right here. And man, well, it's not all bad. It's not all good either. Some of y'all know. I've heard this being said more and more or maybe I'm picking up on it more and more, growing old isn't for sissies. I'm hearing that. I don't know. But look, we want to understand that if my life is going to bring honor and glory to God, then it's gonna come as I walk with Him and I serve Him and I live for Him and I honor Him and I obey Him. But when I disobey my Lord, when I dishonor the name of my God, when I turn away from the Lord, Is it any wonder and is it any surprise that we begin to encounter some physical problems? Because the spiritual is connected to the physical, and you can't really separate those out and just, you know, and you can't always say, oh, well, he's having this because he's a sinner. He's done this and he's done that, and that's why he's got this. No, you don't know that. I don't know that. And it's not fair of us to begin to say those kinds of things, because what we're doing is we're judging. And the Bible says, who art thou, O man, that judgest another, while you are doing the same things? So we need to back up and we need to look at people and understand sometimes God allows things for His glory. You know, His disciples asked the question when that blind man was healed and said, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Because they thought it had to be sin. It wasn't. Jesus said it's so that the glory of God can be revealed. It's so that God can get glory from His healing. And He healed a man, born blind, and God healed him. Well, so sometimes God allows things because He's going to use that to help us to minister to others. We're going to have a greater empathy. Some of you have been through surgeries before. So when you hear someone going through a surgery, man, you know exactly what they're facing, what they're going through, how they're, you know, what's happening. And so there's a lot of reasons that God is allowing things to come into our lives, and we've seen that all through the book of James, that God doesn't exempt us from life. God doesn't put a bubble around us. God doesn't build a dome over His people and just say, okay, you're all going to be healthy and wealthy and wise, and everything's going to be good from here on out. Now, He does put the Spirit of God within you. But He's going to allow you to walk sometimes through dark valleys. Sometimes He's going to allow you to walk in places that you'd rather not walk. Well, there is a connection. And part of the connection is this, that when I sin, if I sin and God says, you were wrong, here's what happens. If when God says to me, you were wrong, that was the wrong thing to say or do or whatever, and if I say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I know I should not have said that, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and Lord, help me to turn away from that and not to do that. I don't want to do that. Lord, I want to honor You. I want to praise You. I want my life to glorify You. If that's the response, then guess what?
Forgiven.
The difficulty is over. God doesn't hold on to it and, you know, hold it over your head or something. You know. God just says, He forgives. When we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. God is so good. But what if I do something wrong and God says, that was wrong? And I say, I don't want to hear it. And He deals with me again. I hear a sermon. And I bow up. You ever got bowed up? Some of y'all know what that is. Some of you done it. Some of you may be there today. But you bow up. Don't want to hear it. And guess what? If you are a child of God, God is going to deal with you as His child. He's going to discipline you as His son. He doesn't discipline the devil's kids, but He disciplines His own. Okay? I never spanked your kids, but I did spank my own from time to time. When James and Lauren were running around this church like, I don't know what to say,
like
saints. That wasn't the word I was thinking of. I was thinking of some kind of a wild But you know what? I didn't ever jump on them and spank them or, you know, discipline them. Just use that word. Might should have, but that wasn't my place. Wasn't my kid. But when the Lord sees us messing up, let's look together in Hebrews chapter 12. Just over a few pages back to your left there. Hebrews chapter 12. And let's look at this together. Now I want to read this passage. So I want you to focus in for a moment. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That is, we're surrounded by all these folks who've walked with Jesus and who've gone on to heaven before us. Man, they are witnessing our race. They're cheering us on. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening, that is the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Some of you have been exercised thereby. You've endured the chastening of the Lord, the discipline of the Lord. And when we sin, God disciplines us. I mean, He is not going to allow you to live any old way you want to live. Some people have asked, well, you just believe you can just get saved and live any old way you want to live. No, no, sir, not at all. I believe if you're a truly born again child of God, God will deal with you as a son. Now, here's the thing. That discipline is progressive. Okay? It progresses. It begins with just a rebuke. It begins with just a thought coming into your heart and your mind that says, man, shouldn't have done that. And if we deal with it right then, it's over. It's finished. It's complete. And we're through. But if we resist, if we bow up, if we say no, then God moves to another level. And guess what? He's got more levels. And He can go as far as He needs to go with us to get our attention and to draw us back to Himself. And the ultimate level is that God will say, all right, if that's the way you're going to be, then I'm going to bring you on home. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, he said, and this was a discussion on the Lord's Supper, but he said that some are sickly among you because of sin. Because of sin that you've done. Some are sickly and some are asleep. The New Testament word for death, for a saint who has died, is sleep. Their body is sleeping. Okay? Well, folks, look, there is a measure of discipline that God can use that will lead even to our death. I didn't hear too many resounding amens.
Amen.
On that one. But, well, that's heavy. But folks, we need to understand that God saves us and calls us to Himself and does a work in us, not so that we can just go off and do whatever. He calls us to Himself for a purpose and a reason. And when we are not walking with Him, we are not fulfilling His purpose. And as a result of that, we're going to become weak, we're going to become sick, and we're going to eventually die. You say, well, is that why Christian people die? No. I mean, there's all kinds of different reasons. But some do die because of discipline on their life. Well, that's a tough thing, but God disciplines us because He loves us. So when we come here in James 5 and we see this thing, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Well, number one in that is that if you want sins to be forgiven, then it requires that you confess your sins. You repent of your sins. You turn to God. You ask for His forgiveness. And He will. He absolutely will forgive you. But there is this connection here. And sometimes the people that we pray for, what we may not understand. I'm thinking of a gentleman that we prayed for. Some of his family asked prayer for this man. He was lost. It wasn't 6 months after that that we heard that he had cancer. Now, I didn't rejoice in that. I was not glad for that. I prayed for his physical well-being. I prayed for his healing. But through the process of cancer, that man came to know Jesus. Sometimes when we pray for healing, we may not realize that God has something far greater than the physical healing in mind. And we're praying for that thing that we see that's the immediate need, and there's a greater need. What if God healed them of cancer, but he kept on as a lost person for the remainder of his life and died and went to hell? What's the benefit of that? What's the good in that? So, I'm not saying pray only for one. Pray for both, but pray for understanding and pray for God to move in their heart and work in their life and accomplish His purposes. And when you're praying for me, I hope you'll pray that I'll learn quickly. I mean, I've been in those places where I've struggled and I have learned this much. That God, whatever you're teaching me, whatever you're showing me, help me to get it. Lord, I don't want to stay in this school. I don't want to stay in this classroom. I don't want to keep having this, Lord. Please help me to get this. Help me to figure out or learn to grasp whatever it is you're showing me. Well, he says here in verse 16, he says, confess your faults one to another. And I don't believe that that's something that we need to do, you know, that you need to confess all your faults publicly. I think your confessions, generally speaking, your confession of sin should be as open as your sin was. And there's some things that is far better off that you not confess it to everyone. But there may be someone that you will feel the need, maybe as an accountability thing, to say, look, I've messed up and I have a need here. I've got an issue and I need you to pray for me and encourage me and help me in this. And we all have some areas like that. But confess your faults one to another. We need to be willing. We need to be humble enough that when God lays it on our heart, that we say to one another, well, I've messed up. I've failed. And I think that that is one of the greatest needs in the church today, is humility. Humility that is willing to say, to own up to what we have done. Because some of the people already know. They already know what's going on. They've already seen what's happening. They already know what's going on in your life. And it's only good and right to go to them and say, "Well, I've messed up. Forgive me. And I want you to pray for me." Confess your faults one to another. We kind of have a tendency sometimes to be a little bit plastic as Christians. You know what I'm saying? Have you met any plastic Christians? I mean, it's the lady who gets up on Sunday morning and everything in the world that can go wrong does go wrong. And all the kids have lost at least one of their shoes. And nothing matches, and the toast is burned, and everything is, and the milk has gone sour, and everything is bad. And you get in the car, and you're just about to snap, and you do. And you're telling your kids, or your husband, or your wife, or and you're just. And then this amazing transformation happens. Have you seen it? This amazing thing happens. You drive up in the church parking lot and you get out of the car with a few final snap words at one another. And then you walk to the front door and everything is all better. Just like that. Who knew? Coming to church could absolutely transform. It doesn't. We're plastic. We're pretending something. We're, "Oh, Pastor. Oh, it's so good to see you. Hallelujah. Had such a blessed week. How about you? Praise the Lord." But James said, "How can you bless God and curse men who are made in the image of God?" You know, how can we turn from bitter waters to sweet in one? Can the same fountain send forth both bitter and sweet water? And oh, how we need to be authentic and to be real and to be genuine. It doesn't mean to let all your faults show. It doesn't mean to, if somebody asks you, "Hey, well, I'm terrible. I've just had an awful week and everything's awful. And my husband is a pain and my kids have been That's probably a level of transparency that maybe we don't need, okay? But it's okay to say, "You know, I have really had a hard week. I've struggled this week." Because somebody else that you meet is going to say, "You did? Oh, I did too. You know, I've had a, you know, well, this week let's pray for each other." And you just connected in a way that helps you. And you've in this one sense, you've confessed your faults one to another. And maybe it needs to be deeper than that. Maybe it needs to be more than that. But, I mean, even in a simple way, you can come together and you can agree and say, "You know, boy, we need Jesus." And I think one of the greatest needs of the church today is to be transparent enough to let people see that we're real people. We mess up, we stumble, we fall, we make mistakes, we sin. But then we get back up and we dust ourselves off and we say, "Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me. Give me grace. Give me strength." And that is what He does. That is who He is. And in that environment, kids grow up to understand, oh, church is not some plastic experience. It's not some fake, hypocritical thing. It's a real, living relationship with God, and people are real there. And that's what we need, is real people living out their faith. So let's close this up. Let me find my Bible. I got so caught up, I've completely lost track of where everything is. Okay. He says here, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." Don't limit that. I mean, trust God in that. If you have a need, ask for prayer. And again, your prayer need, you may not want to advertise it to the whole church. That's fine. But talk to those people that know you and love you. And if you don't have some people who know you and love you, you need to get in Sunday school. Okay? Okay. And then notice the final part of this verse. He says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And I firmly believe that that's not just about men. It's about anyone who is walking with Jesus, loving God, living for the Lord, who has a heart of compassion and love and a sense of urgency in prayer. And may I just say this? When you hear that I am in the hospital and that my kidneys aren't working, I hope you will pray. Not just give lip service to that word, but I would hope that you would pour out your heart to God for me, just like we did for Cheryl a moment ago. And in the moment of your need, because we'll all be there at some point, one way or another, some time or another, I would hope that the people of God would be coming together for you and praying, not just and bless so-and-so and meet their needs and moving along, but pouring out our hearts to God. The effectual, fervent prayer. How many of our prayers are fervent? How many times, how much of the time are we crying out to God, saying, "Oh God, touch my country, my nation that I live in. Touch this land who's turned from you in so many ways." How many times are our prayers fervent? I want to encourage you this morning, and I want to plead with you. The time for casual, limited Christianity is up. It is over. And you're either going to go big or you're going to go home. You're either going to be all in or you're going to be completely out. The day is coming. If it's not here today, it is coming. Because your faith will cost you something. I want to encourage you to be all in. I want to encourage you to pour your heart into everything you do for Jesus. And do everything you do for Jesus. You don't work for your boss. You don't work for the company. You don't work for the government or whoever it is. You work for Jesus Christ. And you're not a good husband because of your wife needs you and your family and all that. You're a good husband because Jesus Christ is your Lord and your boss. And you're simply obeying Him from your heart. And the same goes to every relationship and everything we do in life. God, help us to be men and women of prayer. Young people, kids that pray with a fervent heart. A white hot heart with faith. Knowing that God is able. You may look and say, "Oh, but look where we are. We've lost it. There's no hope." Well, there's always hope. Because God is able. Where we can do nothing, God is able. So, we kind of covered a lot of other stuff today too in our passage. We've kind of been all over the map a little bit. But boy, how we need to enter in. To get a hold of God. Who else is going to intercede for your family? Who else is going to love them with that kind of intensity and that kind of passion? Who else is going to go to the throne of grace and ask God to do great things in their heart if it's not you? Who else is going to cry out for your lost friend, your loved one? Who else is going to pray if we don't do it? Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to You. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bow before You. And God, we confess, Lord, that we have been apathetic, Lord. We've been uncaring in some ways about our prayer life. And oh, Father, we ask Your forgiveness. Lord, we ask You to change us, God. And we pray that You would call us to Yourself, call us to pray and to pour out our hearts because the needs are so great. Oh, Father, would You do a work in us this morning? Would You move us from where we are and where we've lived to where You want us to be? And God, pour out Your Spirit. Pour out Your might. Do a great thing in every heart here today, God. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to be open and admit that we have needs. Help us to admit our failures, our sins. Oh, Father, pour out Your presence here.